Thank you for listening to this special episode of Geek Juice Radio. It was a good episode. I think we learned a lot about Rocky. You know, we'll get to next week with the topic of
Geek Juice Radio.
No one to hear you, baby, just me.
He lives with his mom and his whale penis.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Hey, everybody. Well, I almost said hey, because of a very fucking disturbing episode of Fat Albert that Josh Hadley has sent us. But nothing about that right now. I'm going to try very hard not to think about that for the next hour or so until I watch it again. But welcome to Geek Juice Radio, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Charlie McMullen. You are hearing my nicotine-flecked, chunky-style voice right now. With us tonight is Alex Jowski.
Yes, I am here.
And Kevin Daly.
I'm around.
He is around. You gotta give him that. And what we're going to do tonight is talk about one of the oddest film franchises in American history, the Rocky films. But before that, I'd like to talk about something else. Something that rhymes with Rocky, sort of. Cocky. And by cocky, I mean porn. And by porn, I mean porn from adamandeve.com. If you go to that website and enter the promo code JUICE, you will get 50% off a single item. Could be anything on there, 50% off. Free shipping within the U.S., 3 free DVDs, and a free mystery gift. It's almost desperate how much free stuff they're giving you.
It is, isn't it? And, you know, you just got to use that promo code JUICE.
J-U-I-C-E. But now to business. The films of Rocky. Before we started recording the show tonight, we were just talking about it, and I think it's universally agreed upon that Part 4 is the best one. I think we can all agree on that.
I know I can. Kevin?
Oh, Rocky 4 is my favorite.
Yep. That is a universally accepted truth.
Something about Ivan Drago as the most heavy-handed villain in all of movie history.
I think with Rocky 4, I mean, it's the most fun. It's probably not objectively the best, but it's the one that's most enjoyable. It's the one that's always on. If I find it on TV, if they're doing like a marathon to Rocky and it's Rocky 4 time, that's staying on, no matter what time I join in.
Yeah, there's only a couple of movies like that for me. Like if I'm just looking for anything to watch and I see it on, like, not on cable to where you can actually enjoy it, but like on TBS or TNT or something with commercials and it's edited all to hell.
Yeah, you usually see Rocky 4 on AMC all the time when it decides to actually be American movie classics.
Yeah, I think in a lot of cases that the term American movie classics is very much pushed within its limits.
But let's start with the first Rocky movie, which is Rocky, 1976, from director John G. Avildsen, who also directed Karate Kid, by the way.
Yep.
That would explain why they have similar feels to them.
Yes, Rocky was written by Sylvester Stallone, and it's what made him a star.
I didn't find out that he actually wrote the script until years later. I had no idea.
My chronology is off. Did First Blood come out before or after Rocky?
I'm going to say after.
I've got the wiki here. Let me see. Sylvester Stallone.
Well, yeah, if you want to take the coward's way out, go ahead and look it up on the internet. But I'm going to say before, because the only thing that I remember Stallone doing before Rocky was like Lords of Flatbush and Death Race 2000, maybe.
Yeah, he was in Death Race 2000, that's true.
Oh, First Blood was 1982. First Blood was after Rocky 3.
Ah, wow. There you have it.
For some reason, I always thought of it as one of his early films, but apparently it's not.
Yeah, but you can't do an insane Vietnam film until after you've had your ass handed to you by Clubber Lang. Those are the rules.
His first movie was The Party at Kitty and Studs.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was later retitled, you know, The Italian Stallion.
That's how much of an influence Rocky has had on the cultural zeitgeist.
Yes, and the movie itself was made on a budget of $950,000, shot in 28 days, and it made over $225 million when it opened.
And the executive in charge of locations which is actually just a inflated, made-up title, was Lloyd Kaufman.
Yes, Lloyd Kaufman did a lot of second unit work on Rocky.
That was, he pretty much directed the Philadelphia exterior part of the shoot.
The film won 3 Oscars, including Best Picture.
That was a surprise.
And it had that awesome music from Bill Conti that everyone remembers for Rocky.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, the movie itself. Okay, you've got Rocky, played by Sylvester Stallone, as a young boxer. You know, he's just a small-time boxer that's a collector for a loan shark company.
Right. Half of his face is a little bit lower than the other half of his face.
And he trains at his gym, and he's kind of putting the moves on Adrian working at the pet shop across the street, who is played by Talia Shire.
That was after The Godfather.
Yes.
I know that, yeah.
Talia Shire is actually the sister of Francis Ford Coppola, I believe.
Yes, oh. I think so.
Did not know that either.
You know how it is with Italians, man.
Then you have the world heavyweight champion, Apollo Creed, played awesomely by Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
Yes, Apollo Creed. Carl Weathers. I love Carl Weathers in general. Predator and Rocky.
Yes, Carl Weathers is amazing.
More Carl Weathers is what I'm trying to say.
Action Jackson.
So Apollo Creed decides that he's going to, for the United States Bicentennial, the guy he was going to fight drops out, and so he's like, well, let's give some local underdog a shot, and because he likes Rocky's name, the Italian Stallion, he's like, let's do this, Apollo Creed fights the Italian Stallion. And Apollo Creed's approaching the whole thing as a joke.
Sort of a little bit of a tortoise and hare mentality, a little bit.
Yes, there definitely is a tortoise and the hare mentality. And Rocky, he's got, I'm going to go these rounds with Apollo. And I'm going to go 15 rounds. That's my goal. Whether I win or not, I want to make that 15 rounds. And he trains. And we get montages that are just amazing.
We get a montage reminiscent of Party at Stud and Kitty's, wherein Rocky is beating his meat.
And he falls in love with Adrian, and all that Rocky wants is he wants to go the distance, because no one has ever gone the distance with Creed.
And it's weird. The relationship between Rocky and Adrian was weird to me, because Adrian was fugly, man.
And she wanted nothing to do with Rocky for the first part of the movie. She's like,
I didn't think she was that bad looking. But I guess that's my.
I think Talia Shire is attractive, but in that first movie, she was just odd looking, perplexing almost.
Because she's like, you fight people for a living? Oh no, I can't date you. You're a horrible guy.
Yeah, but can't take that seriously. You'll never support me doing that. It was like a really sort of cornball 1950s mindset.
But he does draw her out of the shell, and that's where we get, yo, Adrian!
Ah, because of the turtles. Right. I get it.
Person that Rocky gets to train him is a 1920s era ex-bantamweight fighter and gym owner, Mickey.
Burgess Meredith.
Yep.
One of the most imitated movie characters in all of history, I think. Because his character was, he was just working through years of frustration, because a long time ago, before Rocky takes place, he really liked to read. And when he finally had enough time, his glasses broke.
Yes, the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, so, I mean, that kind of frustration, he just decided to start training people to hurt other people.
And we've also got Burt Young playing Polly, Rocky's friend that works at the meatpacking plant.
When I was a kid, I always really liked Burt Young, and I have no idea why. He's not a great actor. He's just, I don't know, he's entertaining to me.
And we get the fight, and the fight's amazing.
Yes, it goes beyond 15 rounds. Like, what was the actual?
No, it goes the full 15 rounds, but you don't think it's going to. I mean, Rocky gets beat up, and he gets like horrible. His eyes all swollen, and he's telling Mickey to cut him.
Yeah, come here, Mick.
And you know he loses the fight by a decision, but the whole thing is he made the 15 rounds, and that's what's important.
And it kind of damages Apollo Creed's like reputation, because he's got this like nobody that just went 15 with him.
Exactly. It was like in real life in the early 90s when Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that was pretty much the end of Tyson's career. Well,
I think, I think eating Evander Holyfield's ear was kind of the end of his career.
Well, no, but I mean, he never really, because he was considered unbeatable until that point. And then he lost, and it's like, no one really cared about Tyson anymore, and he went insane, lost all his money, and stayed insane. But now he's like amusing insane.
Yeah, he's still insane.
He's just back to ha-ha funny.
But the thing with the at the end of Rocky, Apollo Creed says, ain't gonna be no rematch. And Rocky's like, don't want one.
Setting up Rocky 2, where there is in fact a rematch.
Yes. That's what actually got me, because I watched Rocky, you know, way, way down the line. And after, you know, it was the first one I watched, but it was years and years after Rocky 5 had come and gone. So I was like, well, I know there are sequels. He does have a rematch, but they said they're not going to. So yeah,
That is the only thing part two, because we were talking before the show. I don't think I've seen part two all the way through. I didn't like.
I haven't either.
You haven't?
Two is the only one I haven't. I've seen most of one. I have not really seen two, and I've seen three and four, and I skipped five because I heard it's awful, and I've seen Rocky Balboa, so I haven't seen two and five.
That is a shock to me. I thought you've seen all of them.
No, well, I'm a huge fan of 3 and 4. I'll watch those back to back all day if you let me. But the and I like Rocky Balboa quite a bit as well, though it's more like the first one than 3 and 4. I almost view the series as having two separate continuities. Rocky and Rocky Balboa being one, and then 2 through 5.
So there's like the mirror universe.
Yeah, like what it would have happened. Yeah, it's a bizarre, because like just tonally, Rocky Balboa is much more like Rocky, and Rocky 2 has some of the more serious stuff, and then it starts to go insane, from what I remember, from what I've seen, the little bits I've seen of it.
I just remember when I was a kid, because my dad was a huge fan of the whole franchise, and he had them all on tape, but I never watched them in order. Like the first time I saw each movie, it was all out of order. Like I saw four. No, I saw the first one first, then I saw four a bunch of times, and then I saw, let's see here, then I saw three with Mr. T, then I saw five. I'm just like thinking that Rocky Balboa is really, really bad at managing his money.
Yeah, he is.
Like, his economic situation is very volatile throughout the franchise.
I saw the first one years ago, and then later on, Comcast had all of them on demand, so I just sat down when I was sick one week and watched all five of them over and over, like, that whole week. And then I went out and bought Rocky Balboa to watch. Like, I've seen the first five of this many times, and I might as well watch the other one. But Rocky 2, Apollo keeps asking for a rematch, and Rocky's like, no, I'm gonna retire, I got this girl now, and we're getting married, and she's pregnant, and I got it. He's got to get surgery on his eye because his detached retina from that fight. And Apollo is like, he's like, I'm going to get this rematch. I've got to prove this. You know, Rocky couldn't have. There's no way Rocky could have made 15 rounds with me. We need this rematch. And he starts doing this smear campaign against Rocky and everything to get him into a rematch.
Now, what was it that happened to Apollo Creed that made him retire from boxing?
He died.
Okay, so what? That's right.
He doesn't retire in two, like at the end of two, basically, right? Yeah. Or does he retire at the beginning of three? I can't remember.
I think it's like in between two and three.
It was somewhere around there.
Retired in three because he trains Rocky at the end of three after he gets the crap kicked out of him by Clubber Lang. And then he comes out of retirement to fight an exhibition against Ivan Drago. And
yeah,
died.
That's when he died.
He retired sometime.
He died in the ring, but I couldn't remember if he had come out of retirement to be in that fight.
I think he retires between two and three.
Okay.
Because he's definitely not like a major factor in three, other than as a trainer. He doesn't. I don't remember him boxing in three.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. But with Rocky 2, eventually Rocky decides to go to do the rematch. And he trains with Mickey, you know, all of Philadelphia supporting Rocky on this, you know, because you get essentially the same montage of training that you did in the first one. But in the first one, it's just Rocky on his own, training out of determination. In the second one, there's a crowd chasing him the whole time, just cheering him on. So when he runs up the steps again, He's got the whole of Philadelphia going, Rocky, Rocky.
Yeah, like a bunch of kids who really, it wouldn't be safe for them to be there without their parents.
And, of course, Mickey's like, I'm not going to train you. He's going to kill you, Rock.
You mean like he does in every movie?
Yes.
Well, he dies in three.
So, but then he agrees to train Rocky. And
of course.
Apollo is like, I'm going to knock Rocky out in two rounds to show that first fight was a fluke.
Yeah.
And so they get to the fight.
And that, of course, does not happen.
That doesn't happen, no. Apollo's, like, unloading on him, though, and Rocky's getting his butt kicked a lot. And he makes it to the 15th round, and Apollo has this huge lead on points that Rocky can't possibly beat. But Rocky manages to knock him down, and they both fall down. But Rocky gets up while the referee's counting. Rocky gets up on 9.
Yeah, okay, I remember that now.
And so everyone's like, Rocky won, yay! And that's actually the opening of Rocky 3 as well, is that fight.
Yeah, they show a montage. That's pretty much the only real part of Rocky 2 I've seen.
That was such a weird ending. Just like to end it like right at the beginning of the fight with that Leroy Neiman painting.
Yeah.
With the weird like paint splashes with Eye of the Tiger playing. Like, you can never get away with crap like that now.
And
we just had a different set of standards in place back then when it came to movies. Like, you would never pull that crap off now.
Rocky gets away with a lot of stuff, just in general.
Rocky 3 is where it starts getting real fun, though, because it starts with the Eye of the Tiger montage.
Yeah.
Showing what's happened over the 5 years between.
And until I'd seen this movie, I always figured Eye of the Tiger was the theme from Rocky 1, but it doesn't actually show up until 3.
Yeah, it's over the
Gonna Fly Now is the Rocky main theme. Of course, you know, nothing compares to Hearts on Fire from Rocky
Hearts
4.
On Fire.
We'll get to that when we get to Rocky 4.
Rocky, over the, like, 5 years, just winning all these title defense fights, and he gets all this fame and wealth and celebrity, and he's got his own gym now.
His own beverage-dispensing robots.
Oh, that's in 4. He hasn't bought the robot yet in 3.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, this movie is the part where the series really goes off the rails, but the hardcore going off the rails doesn't happen till 4.
Here, the train is kind of rocking. You can see it about to fall.
Pushed heavily by then-unknown Hulk Hogan.
Yes, Hulk Hogan shows up his, what is it, Thunderlips?
Thunderlips, yeah. And they have
Thunderlips.
That, like, boxing versus wrestling match. And this was before WrestleMania 1. This was before Hulk Hogan had become... It was right before, but it was right before Hulk Hogan had become, like, a world-famous name in the 80s. But he was still relatively unknown.
Hulk Hogan was coming at you, brother.
And I think this was still when he was playing a villain in the WWF. This is a little bit before my time, so my wrestling history is a little spotty because I didn't start watching until, I would say, the late 80s.
It sounds a little bit just a little bit before time in general.
Well, with how old Hulk Hogan is now, yeah. But, you know, as a I mean, when I was a kid, I watched a lot of professional wrestling. And like I said, I started with, like, the Saturday morning stuff in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. Right. But I was renting, like, tapes from, like, WrestleMania 1 and 2 and 3 by the time I got really into it. So I went back with the history pretty well to really understand, like, where they were at. I don't know. I was a weird kid. But, yeah, this was before WrestleMania 1. So
and before you were a weird adult.
Yeah, before. Yeah, well, I'm a weird adult now. But this is before I was born. But, yeah, Hulk Hogan, I think, was still playing a villain. And this is before he was big and famous. So this kind of got his career launched in a way.
I think there's a big debt of gratitude from Hulk Hogan to Sylvester Stallone that may or may not have ever been acknowledged.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know if they did anything. I know that there was, like, some cross promotion because you had Mr. T coming over to the WWF too, and wrestling with, like, Roddy Piper.
And at this point, Mr. T was famous for the A-Team and nothing else, I believe.
Actually, I think this might have predated the A-Team. Let me double check that, but I believe 82 predates the A-Team as well.
Huh.
Yes, this was his second credited role. A-Team didn't come around until 83. And actually, Mr. T was pretty famous after Rocky III because he had the Mr. T show in 83 around the same time the A-Team came out. So
he was on top of the world at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of, like, made him a huge, huge star, playing Clubber Lang in 3. interesting little bit. Yeah, this predates the A-Team, so this was his breakout, much like it was with Hulk Hogan.
Yep, you get
Rocky III, important film for perhaps the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons. But, that is odd, though, because, I mean, you got to hand it to Mr. T for being able to build himself like an image starting with exactly that image. Because dudes who come to prominence playing fictional characters, like the same fictional character and everything, like Pee Wee Herman, for example, or like, well, pretty much Joan Rivers. I mean, let's be real here. But with Paul Rubens, he started out just as himself. Like, he was doing, like, stand-up and stuff. Larry the Cable Guy, for that matter. They start out as just themselves and then just adopt this weird persona. Mr. T, it's always been Mr. T as you know him today.
Yeah,
pretty much.
When you see Clubber Lang show up in Rocky III, because Rocky's like unveiling his statue and stuff, and you got Clubber Lang coming up and like, oh, I hate you, Rocky.
Awesome impression, by the way.
Yeah. He accuses Rocky of selective matchmaking, that you only accept challenges from, like, wimp-ass opponents.
From chumps.
And where does Clubber Lang come from? Because he's not, like...
He comes from the shadows, I don't
like,
know.
He comes from Rocky Balboa's subconscious, his nightmares.
Yeah, he basically comes on from, like, the streets, and just, like, I'm going to challenge this world champion boxer, like...
Well, he is like, Clubber Lang is a new boxer that's rapidly climbing the ranks.
Yeah, boxing is weird, though, because, okay, here's the thing with boxing, even today. There's no one organization that functions boxing. It's not like
NFL or something.
Yeah, well, the NFL, but I was going to specifically use MMA as an example. It's not like UFC.
I think there is, though. Isn't there like a boxing commission or something?
There are several multiple boxing commissions, and there's no like one league where any commissioner can tell two boxers to fight with each other.
Yeah, like, so, I looked up what my weight class would be in boxing.
So boxers largely are free to choose the fights they want. And it's interesting because, like I said, they're largely free to choose what they want. That's why you get stuff like Floyd Mayweather didn't want to fight Manny Pacquiao and didn't have to. Nobody was there to force it because that's not how boxing works.
But
they can accept challenges from whoever they want. But generally speaking, it's all about the money. And so if the payout's big enough, you know, like, okay, this is going to be a big draw. And I don't know if Clubber Lang would have been a big enough draw.
Yeah, like your manager.
Maybe he would have been, but that's part of it. Like,
because he's just some guy who crashes statue dedications at this point.
Yeah, your boxer's manager will push him towards, you know, this is going to be a big fight. You want to accept this one. Or in the case of Mickey here, because Rocky accepts the challenge from Lang, because Lang is sitting there just like, hey, woman, to Adrian. So Rocky gets pissed and takes the challenge. Then Mickey's like, no, no, Rock, he's going to kill you, Rock.
You want to be with real men?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I think, according to my favorite boxing movie of all time, The Great White Hype, individual fighters have to be sanctioned by some sort of organization before they can take part in a professional fight. Is that correct?
Yeah, but there are so many organizations, like, you know, I don't even have to look it up, like WBC, and let me look up boxing organizations real fast, because there's like five of them, and they all have their own championship belts. So you get like undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, it's because they own like all the belts.
I've always wondered, so, like,
you have guys
if,
that like,
if they're
be,
undisputed,
like,
what's all the fighting about?
There'll be like three guys with a heavyweight championship belt, and it's just like, the hell?
Something ain't right.
But like, I looked up.
So
what
let
my
me see here. Let's
I
see
looked
if I can
up.
Find.
Looked up what my weight class would be in boxing, and it's like, well, which organization?
Super flyweight.
I would be flyweight, because I weigh as much
oh,
as
you're
a
not
fly.
Like, you're not like light flyweight. There are four sanctioning bodies: the International Boxing Federation, the World Boxing Association, the World Boxing Council, and the World Boxing Organization, and each have their own set of belts.
Wow,
and it's kind of stupid. Wow.
There.
Lots of focus on accessories here.
They've got different weight classes and what determines the weight class. Like, some of them have a straw weight or mini fly weight.
Mini fly weight? That's like insulting.
It's less than 105 pounds.
It's like, not only do you weigh as much as a fly, but amongst flies, you're small.
Nat weight.
There's a minimum weight class in the IBF. Let's see what it says about the weight on this. This is sort of off topic, but it's very amusing. Yes, no more than 100. Minimum weight is no more than 105 pounds. Basically, it's a relatively new weight class, also called straw weight or mini flyweight. Then there's junior flyweight, flyweight, super flyweight, bantam weight, super bantam weight, featherweight, junior lightweight, lightweight, junior welterweight, welterweight, junior middleweight, middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight, cruiserweight, and heavyweight. And there's actually some federations I think have a super heavyweight class too.
For those gargantuan fellas, huh?
For like King Hippo and guys like that.
Yeah. Well, what that's was that the... guy, Butterbean? That was the dude who was like always
Butterbean.
A super
heavyweight. That would Butterbean is awesome.
The WVBA, the World Video Game Boxing Association, that they had in the Mike Tyson games.
Yep.
But we're a bit off topic. I want to get back to Rocky III because you have Mickey having heart attacks.
Yeah.
The whole
several
movie.
Of them.
You know, I think he has the first one during his fight with Thunderlips. That he's just embarrassed for Rock. It's I can't take this anymore. Heart attack.
I'm still falling in love with that name. I'm gonna make my wife call me Thunderlips at some point.
Rocky goes to fight Lang and gets his ass kicked. He's knocked out in the second round. He's like, Mickey, what happened? Well, you gonna trade me for a rematch? And Mickey says. Mickey goes, no, and dies.
Pretty much.
No, he does train him, though, for the rematch, because there's two rematches in this. There's two matches. Okay, you're talking about the rematch, right? Okay.
The original match he gets trained for, and Mickey keeps telling him, you're going to lose, Rock. He's going to kill you, Rock.
And he doesn't kill him, but he does lose because he doesn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
Now shut up and chase this chicken around in a circle.
But basically what happens is Rocky tells, because Mickey has a heart attack before the fight even begins. So Mickey's not there at the fight. And, you know, Rocky goes after the fight and tells Mickey, he's like, it ended in a second round by a knockout. And Mickey's like, oh, good, you won. And then he dies. He doesn't know that Rocky actually lost.
Right.
So he goes to chase down Apollo Creed in, like, Harlem or something.
Yeah, and he's going to train with Apollo Creed.
And he goes old school, and he's, like, hitting the gym and, like, using the old school equipment, none of the modern stuff that he was using before. And you get these, like, really homoerotic moments of him running on the beach with Apollo Creed.
They become best friends.
Yes, friends, right.
Yeah, it takes a weird turn into gay jungle fever at some point.
Well, here's the thing.
No, I totally want to take that montage, that training montage, edit out Eye of the Tiger, and put in, like, you're my best friend.
The Queen song?
Yeah.
Okay. Or people let me tell you about my best friend.
It's the 80s, so you get all sorts of these homoerotic sort of moments in 80s
but
films.
But nobody questioned it at the time. Did you
like
ever
the beach that? Volleyball scene in Top Gun. Like no one even thought about it in the 80s. Now it's like, that's probably the gayest scene in movie history, and I've seen Boys of Athens.
So then we get to the rematch at Madison Square. And the thing with that Rocky's learned about Clubber Lang is that Clubber just comes on fast and strong, and he's used to winning, like, second-round knockouts. So Rocky figures, you know, if I can make it to the third, fourth, fifth round, I'm going to wear this guy out. So that's what he does during the fight, is he just lets Lang beat him up, and he keeps making fun of Lang. He's like, that don't hurt me. That don't hurt. That don't hurt.
Yeah, Rocky's basically invulnerable to punches. That's what we've discovered at this point.
Yeah, which is a huge gamble. Like, he bets everything on that concept. Like, he will get tired by the fifth round.
And that's what happens. You know, the fight goes on too long. Lang gets tired, and Rocky wins. So, afterwards...
Now, wasn't there something about Clubber Lang saying something about Mickey after he died?
I think he does.
I mean, he talks a lot of crap the whole movie. He's got some of my favorite lines, though.
He says that
forecast pain.
I pity the fool that tried to beat
prediction,
Clubber Lang.
He said prediction pain or something like that. But every time, I don't know, every time prediction or forecast comes up, all I can think of is pain.
he does use his I pity the fool that tried to beat Clubber Lang. And he...
Yeah, before the A-team. So, I mean, that's, him just kind of establishing his own...
character,
like,
of Mr. T.
History. Yeah. His own character before he's famous. Pretty interesting.
During the last fight, Clubber Lang keeps calling Rocky, you're a fool! You're a fool, Rocky!
Where do you keep getting his number?
And after the fight, you know, Rocky fills this obligation he has to Apollo. Apollo wanted a rematch, but a private rematch. No cameras, no media, just at the gym, just man on man. And the film ends, yep. Right? Freeze frame, yep. On their punches.
Yes, punches, right.
Punches.
So apparently Clubber Lang is based on a combination of Sonny Liston, Larry Holmes, and George Foreman. Yeah, Foreman was mean in his youth. Then he became like this, like, happy-go-lucky, like, buy my grill.
His grill is awesome.
I named all my sons George, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, when he was young, Foreman was a mean guy.
Yeah, like when he was fighting Muhammad Ali in Zaire.
Vicious, like scary.
Oh, you also have, like, when Rocky's training to beat Clubber Lang, he goes to his gym first. And it's just, like, laid back. There's just all these cameras at the gym just recording Rocky train, because he's not really training. He's putting on his training show.
Yeah. Right.
And Mickey's like, no, no, Rock, you can't. This isn't training, Rock.
You're being a fruit for the cameras, Rock.
But we get to Rocky IV now.
This is the best one just because of its level of ridiculousness.
Rocky. This is the most insane, like, sports movie ever.
I mean, if you're talking about training montages, it doesn't get much better than, like, Rocky in the woods, intercut with Ivan Drago, pretty much just, like, getting experimented on.
Doping up, like, crazy, and using the most modern of equipment ever.
I mean, very high-tech equipment. He could have been more of just, like, a combination of Frankenstein and Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Let me give you some credit to the director for those scenes, because it's got this, you know, it's got the duality there where they're in the same country at this point, because Rocky had already gone over to Russia, and Rocky's training with, like, wood blocks in the snow with a giant beard, and you've got Ivan Drago in this super modern facility. It's like the Cold War. America, pick them up by their bootstraps. Look at these stupid Russians.
Exactly.
They're like modern technology, and they're going to lose anyway. This movie could not have been made in any other decade but the 1980s. Yeah, possible to have made it any other decade.
1985, you know, height of the Cold War there.
Yeah, this is Rocky ending the Cold War with a speech. This is such an absurd movie that it is among my favorite films of all time, because it's just insane.
So you got Rocky is just high on success, and he buys a robot for Polly.
Yeah, the sex robot.
Yeah. Hello, yeah, Polly, how are you?
It dispenses egg cream beverages.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Ivan Drago comes over from the USSR. And challenges Apollo Creed to an exhibition bout. And so Rocky trains Apollo for a bit. And then you've got the match.
You've got James Brown.
Yes, you've got the match.
Living in America.
Yeah.
And Drago looking completely confused. Like, what the hell is this?
I know. Like, he might as well have been on another planet watching aliens, like, just devour each other.
The way that match plays out, because you got Ivan Drago coming. They're like, oh, from USSR, the challenger, Ivan Drago. And it plays some little Russian song, and everyone's like, okay. And then they're like, and then Apollo Creed, and it's playing Living in America. James Brown comes down, and...
Yeah, he's like strutting around the ring for, like, 15 minutes.
Like it's a professional wrestling match.
Yeah, there's so much just show to Apollo Creed's entrance.
And it's interesting because, you know, the whole, like I said, it's a Cold War film and it's very much, you know, America, except for this scene where it's like, yeah, Drago is right. This is excessive.
Yeah, Drago's like, I got golf claps. You get a song. Fuck that.
Yeah, this is excessive. And it shows a little bit of the excess of the USA. And it's an interesting film from some of the statements it makes.
It accidentally makes a strong case for communism.
Yeah, yes, in a movie that's about ending communism. It's bizarre. So, Drago, though, is a very sympathetic character, actually, in a lot of ways.
Towards the end, like, he kills Apollo, and they're like, oh no, you might have killed Apollo Creed, and Drago's like, if he dies, he dies.
And that was the extent of his dialogue.
No, he has one more line.
Oh yeah, like later on, he goes, you will lose.
He goes, I will break you.
Yeah.
He says, I must break you. And I think it's an interesting line because Drago, like I said, I think Drago's a sympathetic character in a lot of ways because he has basically been groomed to be the Soviet super weapon that takes down the United States.
Yeah, yeah, he's being manipulated by his handlers and stuff.
They've got like this,
including his wife. Bridget Nelson actually plays his wife.
Yeah,
in the movie, yeah, she, you know, the whole his everybody around him is just like the pressure. He knows he has to win. He can't lose.
And they keep promoting him as like the Soviet superiority. Like they have these shows like his punches. He punches 800 pounds of force or whatever.
2200 PSI, or the average PSI for a boxer is 700, which is three times harder than your average.
Wow.
Now, speaking of Bridget Nielsen, this was, if I'm not mistaken, the movie she did before Rocky IV was Cobra, also with Sylvester Stallone. She was pretty hot in that movie. And then by the time Rocky IV came around, she has, like, more than begun her transformation into gigantic manly.
Well, actually, she did Red Sonja and then Cobra. And then
not only with Sylvester, married to Sylvester Stallone from 85 to 87.
Yeah. Like, the movie itself was not ridiculous enough. It had to stir some stuff up in real life.
Yeah, Cobra came after Rocky IV. Cobra's 86.
Cobra was after
Rocky IV.
I happen to see that Bridget Nelson is also in Big Money Rustlers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she did date Flava Flav.
Oh, God. That woman, she just, yeah. So Rocky goes to to fight Drago in Siberia on a match on Christmas Day on a 15-round bout, and he trains in Russia, you know, with the snow and the logs, and he's training with Apollo's trainer, Duke.
Yeah.
Played by Tony Burton.
Because I remember in the exhibition match earlier in the movie, Rocky and Duke were the cornermen for Apollo Creed. And was it Duke or was it Rocky who didn't throw in the towel in time?
Rocky.
Yeah.
Which is why Rocky felt the need to avenge the death of... I don't know.
Yeah.
He died in a freak boxing accident because, frankly, Apollo Creed was too old to take the 2200 PSI of boxing force from a giant Russian.
Right.
In that way, kind of stupid.
So they have their big fight, and yes, Drago has more lines, because he says that Rocky's not human, he is like a piece of iron. They, you know, Rocky wins the fight, and he makes his, if I can change, you can change, then everybody can change.
Yeah.
And ends the Cold War.
Yeah.
Gorbachev stands up, gives him, like, the serious clap, and the Cold War ends.
The whole Politburo is there, just, yes, Rocky,
yes,
you're right.
You're right. You beat our Russian boxer, and your words speak truth. What?
And democracy lives happily ever after.
Yeah, only in the 80s.
And then you have Rocky V, came out years later.
Yeah, where Rocky's brain is, like, destroyed, and his kid is, like, getting in trouble or something.
He's got brain damage. His kid is like, my dad doesn't love me. I'm going to join the bad kids. And
oh, the bad kids.
And there's Tommy Gunn.
Yeah, Rocky had apparently given his accountant power of attorney, and his accountant was stupid, squandered all of the money, and never paid Rocky's income taxes.
Yeah.
Back on the mean streets.
Should not have bought Polly all those sex robots, man.
And that he's supposed
Polly was breaking him on a regular basis.
And, like, there's this guy, this Union Kane, is goading Rocky into a championship fight. And Rocky's like, I don't want to take that fight. You're broke, Rocky. Okay, I'll take that fight.
Another thing noteworthy is that in Rocky I and Rocky V, Lloyd Kaufman plays presumably the same character in both movies, a homeless bum who, like, gives Rocky some wisdom when he's down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So now we've got, yeah, because he's back in Philadelphia. He's training in the old gym again, which is the one thing he didn't lose because the gym was given to Rocky's son, Robert.
Yeah.
Who's actually played by Sage Stallone. And so he starts training Tommy Gunn.
The now deceased Sage Stallone, I should mention.
Yes, the now deceased. So he starts training Tommy Gunn, and he sends Tommy Gunn to the fight. Well, Tommy Gunn goes by himself to the fight because he doesn't think Rocky's a good trainer. And so Duke trains him. And Tommy wins the fight. But nobody's like, you didn't beat Rocky. You're not really the champ. So Tommy goes and beats the hell out of Polly to goad Rocky into the fight.
Yeah, okay, I remember that.
Rocky,
Tommy's a scumbag.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fight in a bar.
Pauly worn out from hours of sex with his robots.
Yep, hours of robot sex. That'll take it out of you. It'll make you dehydrated. Yeah. It slows your reflexes, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
You paid cash for the robot, right? Right, Rock? This isn't on credit?
Yeah. No, I don't think they took his robots.
So Rocky goes and he has the fight with Tommy Gunn. And he wins.
Now, Tommy Gunn, the character, embodies like Marky Mark style white boy ego aggression.
Yes, he exactly is that. So Rocky, after the fight, Rocky's like, "Hey, good fight," you know, and
that's a good fight.
And then Duke, the former trainer for Apollo that became Tommy's trainer. Tills is like, "If you touch me, Rocky, I'm going to sue you." So Rocky punches him. He's like, "Sue me for what? I'm broke. I don't got no money."
Apparently the original ending for this movie has Tommy Gunn killing Rocky.
No kidding!
And Rocky dying in Adrian's arms in the steps of the museum in Philadelphia.
That would have been
that is the
depressing
ending.
How could he have died on the museum steps if he was fighting? Like...
I don't
like he was alive enough to get from the arena to the museum.
Well, it establishes that
Stallone,
he's got
Stallone
brain
rewrote
damage.
The ending. He said that he decided to change it because Rocky was supposed to be about perseverance and redemption, and having him die in a street brawl would be against the roots of the series.
Yeah.
That would have been a downer. It's like all the success, Rocky dies to this punk kid in a street brawl.
We get Rocky Balboa, which came out, oh, God knows how many years later.
It was a long time. It was over 10 years, I know that.
Yeah, and, you know, he's well in his 50s now, and his son's growing up and is like some corporate guy, works in an office, and Adrian's dead. She died of cancer.
Rocky owns a restaurant called Adrian's.
But that's okay, because he meets Little Marie, who is apparently a girl in the first movie, who is now a bartender.
I do not recall Little Marie.
Neither do I. But apparently she was there, and she's got some, like...
Apparently a mischievous neighborhood girl.
Yes. And she's got this son, and so Rocky becomes like a father figure. And then in the world of boxing, you have Mason the Line Dixon.
Oh,
one of my
come
favorite,
on.
One of my... Well, is it worse than Tommy Gunn?
It's not worse. Tommy Gunn could not be more of a porno name.
No, I did like Mason the Line Dixon. Like, that is stupid.
It really is.
And they brought, he's the new, you know, up-and-coming champion. And like ESPN broadcasts a computer simulation of a fight between Rocky and Mason. Where
yeah, because it's interesting because in the previous Rocky films, ESPN really hadn't hit its stride yet.
No, they were watching these on like CBS.
ESPN wasn't really, so by the time, you know, whatever, 20 years later. Suddenly, you know, ESPN is huge, so you have ESPN involved in this. It's kind of an interesting thing.
ESPN should really start doing that. Like, they should do computer-simulated boxing matches more. Like, I would watch it then.
Like, Floyd Mayweather versus
Bill
Sugar,
Murray.
Bill Murray, yeah. I was gonna say a boxer, Sugar Ray Leonard or something.
If you want to go the traditional route, that would be fine, too.
They should just make a channel of ESPN fantasy that shows nothing but, like, these matchups. Like, okay, let's Muhammad Ali versus the 1974 Miami Dolphins. Let's see.
Dude, I would watch that channel all day long.
My wife says, so kind of like the Deadliest Warrior on Spike. I'm like, yeah, it would be kind of like that. I like Deadliest Warrior.
The 1987 Denver Broncos against the 1983 Toronto Blue Jays in a soccer match.
Ballet competition.
Get on this, ESPN. You need to do this.
But they predict that Rocky wins, which gives him confidence, and he's like, let's do an exhibition fight.
The way I remember it is, Dixon gets really mad.
Yeah, because he's like, no, you
like,
won't beat me.
Yeah, and then Rocky's like, yeah, this sounds cool. And then Dixon's
say,
like, I'm going to beat the hell out of you, basically.
Like, what did he get mad at? Did he realize, what, this is my name?
So Rocky's gonna like do this fight because yeah, he's not like, oh, I need to do this. He's like, what the hell, I'll do this. And his son's like giving him crap about it. He's like, oh, because of your boxing, I grew up terrible. It's all your fault that my life sucks. And Rocky's like, it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving.
which has nothing to do with what I was
talking about. That's if you had the subtitles on, because understanding anything Sylvester Stallone says in this film requires subtitles.
Yes. So Rocky...
I think that's one of the subtitles on the DVD.
So the son's like...
Kind of like Stallone's English.
The pikey subtitles on my... My Super Bit Collection DVD of, or whatever that Criterion DVD of,
yeah,
I have of Snatch.
So, but apparently those mumbled words ring true to Robert, who quits his job to be by Rocky's side, and Rocky starts training with Duke again because they've
fair weather friends. 7,000 years old.
Yes, and they go to the fight, and Rocky loses.
So they go the full round, and it's a split decision.
Yeah, they both, you know.
Rocky's like, yeah, I'm 100 years old, but I can take this kid down. I can almost take this kid down.
Yeah, and...
Well, here's the thing, okay,
it
right?
It wasn't a knockout. That's the important thing.
And it's not like a bitter fight. They're both like, hey, good job. Yeah, that was good. All right.
You know what's funny about this? Mason Dixon has no way to win with this fight. His options are win, in which case he beat a 60-year-old man, no one cares. Or lose, and he just lost to a 6-year-old man, and his career's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go from there.
There's no benefit for Mason Dixon taking this fight. Exhibition or no.
So it's good for both parties that it ended in a decision, and Rocky losing by decision.
Yeah, probably.
And, you know,
there's some dignity in that, though, because it wasn't a knockout.
And they go, the end of it is... Rocky goes to visit Adrian's grave and is like, yo, Adrian, we did it. And that's the end. And apparently Sylvester Stallone says he might do another Rocky movie, but I have no clue where he's going to go now.
So the original draft of the film was called Rocky VI, Puncher's Chance, with him and Adrian going to a local gym for youth.
Oh, Puncher's Chance, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
That would have been like... Honestly, it would have come out kind of like Bad News Bears or Mighty Ducks.
I'm glad they went the direction they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, that would have been...
It's probably the friendliest of the Rocky movies. But it's actually not that bad.
No, it's good. This movie is actually pretty good. The reason... they killed off Adrian was to create like emotion like from the first moment of the film.
What's interesting is the soundtrack for Rocky Balboa wasn't specifically a soundtrack for Rocky Balboa. It was called Rocky Balboa, The Best of Rocky, included music from all the others, like Eye of the Tiger and stuff, except no music from Rocky IV. No Hearts on Fire or Living in America.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, that is.
You know, the best music in the series. But they wanted to keep the movie... I guess they want to keep the movie more serious than the insanity.
Yeah, which I don't blame them. And they did, you know, acknowledge that Rocky is 60 years old. He's not going to be this great fighter.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't make much sense to have the same level of fantasy that was in Rocky IV.
That he is going to be retired and old and probably running a restaurant.
That would actually make sense. That's what happens to boxers in real life. They either run restaurants or market their own grills or something.
Yeah.
Or do one-man shows where you talk about how insane your life is after biting a dude's ear off.
But the Rocky films, you know, they're good. I like them. They're a piece of American history.
I think they
always,
are.
They'll always be a very significant piece of history. Well, Rocky, for its... You know, the fact that it was so big. And Rocky IV because of the fact that it's Rocky IV. So we've reached the end of the episode. So I guess we say, you know, yo, Adrian, we did it.
Yep. I'm gonna do the outro as Sylvester Stallone.
All right.
Thank you for listening to this which episode of Geek Just Say. Oh, it was a good episode. We learned a lot about Rocky. You know, we're going to be next week with the topic of
GeekJuiceMedia.com. Thank you, Rock.